grace to and peace from Christ, who is the light of the world, as today again we unpack that wonderful Christmas gift once more and reflect on God's marvelous grace shown us in Him who is the light of the world. Please rise. I read again these words from our gospel lesson today. Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here." And He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. When I was a boy, I've mentioned to many people that Epiphany was kind of a dead time between Christmas and Lent. I didn't know why we had 7 weeks of dead time. Actually, as I've gotten older, I've learned to appreciate Epiphany much more. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's the time where we take the great Christmas gift God gave us. The wise men kneeling before the baby, the shepherds bowing. We wonder what's going on here. We open the gift and find out 2 Sundays ago, He is the Son of God. As at His baptism, God says, "Behold, that's My beloved Son. You listen to Him." And then last Sunday, we found out why God gave us this great gift. "Behold, the Lamb of God," John the Baptist says, as he points us to Jesus. "He takes away the sin of the whole world." And this morning, we learned something else about this great gift. That unlike many of the other gifts we receive that, oh well, they either wear out, we get tired of them, the batteries need to be replaced, fads change, we outgrow the clothes, whatever the case may be, this Christmas gift never needs to be returned or exchanged. It never wears out. It's the one gift that will last us forever. And what is that gift? It's the gift of His Son, who today is called the light shining in the darkness. That's what God had promised. You heard Isaiah back in the Old Testament. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Actually, the Hebrew text, the Greek translation picks it up too, is a present tense. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light, which is a bizarre thing to say. I've mentioned this to you several times. Who walks around in the darkness? You crawl in the darkness, you feel your way, you grope around in the darkness, you stumble in the darkness. You don't just walk as though you're in the light. And that verse, I think, reflects history, doesn't it? Of people walking in the darkness as though the light is shining when it's not. And they're crashing into that wall and bumping into that, tripping over that, one philosophy after another, not giving them hope and peace and confidence that they so desperately need to get out of the darkness. Matthew makes a little change in this text. Did you catch it? You heard the gospel lesson? The prophet had written the people walking in darkness. Matthew changes one little word by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says the people dwelling in darkness. The Greek word means sitting. Now, what is he doing here? He changes that from walking around in darkness to sitting. It's almost as though Matthew is saying that as the centuries have passed, people have gotten increasingly disillusioned, discouraged, sad. They've maybe given up all hope. They're no longer walking around. They've just sat down and given up. And if there's anything that illustrates the depression of people walking in the darkness, it is this territory where Jesus chooses to begin His ministry, the territory of Zebulun in the land of Naphtali. That area is what today is northern Israel, up by Syria. Boy, by the way, Syria, now there is a place in darkness. Many people just given up. Will that civil war ever be over? And that's where Jesus chooses to begin His ministry, in that area there. If you read back in the book of 2 Kings, we read how the kings of Assyria invaded northern Israel. And they captured many of the people in Israel up in the north, and they dragged them off into captivity in Assyria. Before that, they burned their villages, flayed the people, cut out their tongues. They were gruesome people, the Assyrians. Talk about depression and discouragement. Where was God? Why was He letting this happen? In the opening hymn, we sang that beautiful words, "Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal." Really? Has He? So much of our lives become easily very disappointing, very tedious, very discouraging. A cough that doesn't go away. You visit the doctor, he says, I think there's a problem there in your throat. We got to do a biopsy there. One of your parents has a stroke. They can't communicate with you anymore. Your children have not turned out maybe the way you thought they would. You did the best you could do raising them, but they seem to have rejected your values and your principles. And then we look at our country, we think sometimes, what's going on with people rebelling against the government, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go there today. What is your Assyria in your life that maybe causes you sometimes just to give up? You just feel like sitting down and crying about the whole business. But this is Epiphany. That's why Epiphany is such a happy time, isn't it? The light has shined. As we read in John's Gospel, we heard it this past Christmas, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, for the Word became flesh and lived among us. And that Christmas gift of God's Son in the manger, looking so helpless initially, is the bright light that can give us hope and confidence. It can do what most gifts we receive can never do, satisfy us forever. This is a gift you never have to think you might have to return it or change it. It can and will satisfy all your deepest needs. Didn't appear like too much though on Good Friday, did it? On Good Friday, that great gift of God that promised to enlighten everyone was swallowed up in the darkness. As God pours out his wrath on his own Son, that one who is the Lamb of God, who is his beloved Son, and he's enveloped in thick darkness. And out of the darkness, we hear this unearthly scream, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you abandoned me? We think, what's going on here? And we get depressed with him. We say, this is the gift God gave us. How can that gift enlighten me? It's in the darkness. But then the light dawns again on the third day. And on the third day, we rejoice to shout out to each other, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Or as St. Paul writes in one of his epistles, God has manifested his grace through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Who has abolished death. Yes, he has. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the gospel that the Lord Jesus took into Galilee. That's the gospel that he brought to those people living, sitting in darkness. He went there to bring the light of salvation. As John writes in his first chapter of his gospel, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Jesus brought light and hope to those people living in darkness as he went around not only preaching the gospel, but then undoing the consequences of darkness. We read how he proclaimed the kingdom and then confirmed the message of the kingdom by healing every disease and affliction among the people. Folks, this is the gospel that wants to be preached, God wants preached among us today. It is the same gospel that God wants us to enjoy today. It is a gift that promises us, assures us of victory and salvation over everything that inhibits our hope, gets in the way of our joy, and disappoints us so much. It's a gift that promises us an eternal pleasure from God, one that will never pass away, one that won't wear out, one that we don't have to change for something better or return it. Today, our Lord Jesus follows the same pattern as he followed back in his ministry in this world. He not only wants the gospel proclaimed among us, but then he himself comes to affirm that blessed good news with the miracle of the sacrament. As we hear preached to us the gospel, I have died for you, I have paid your debt, I forgive you and remit your entire debt. And then Jesus confirms that to us, doesn't he? As he invites us to his table and puts in our mouth that with which he bought our salvation, his own body and blood. And as we eat his body and blood hidden in the bread and the wine, we hear his own word to each of us one by one, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. And then as we eat his body and drink his blood, What echoes in the back of our minds but our Lord's blessed promise, because I live, you will live too. For our salvation is not just a spiritual salvation. It is that. It's also a bodily salvation, as the Lord promises us also a resurrection to a new life when all that he intended us to be is restored in us by his grace. This is a gift, I say again, which you'll never have to exchange it, never have to return it. It'll never break down, it'll never wear out, and there's nothing any better. Our Lord's resurrection guarantees it to us forever. As we learn to confess in the Catechism, I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom forever and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most probably true. That's not what we say. We say this is most certainly true, guaranteed by his own resurrection. And you know, in a sense, that's why he has called us out of darkness, isn't it? That he might use us now to bring this light to people among whom we live, our neighbors, our children, our parents, our friends at work, friends at school. I will tell of your name to my brothers, we sang in the introit. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you, and all the ends of the earth shall turn to the Lord. How will the ends of the earth turn to the Lord if we don't say something, or if we don't support those taking the gospel out to the world? We're privileged to have Pastor Jastrom with us today. He's the guy in black right there and a white collar like me. He's a missionary in Japan, he and his wife. And we support him. I hope we do more than we probably should. We probably should support him even more. But what a great blessing it is that God raises up men like him to go live in another country and bring the gospel. What can you do but support ministry of a fellow like him, Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic, Pastor Wakoma in Nigeria, who was here last week? What opportunities we have as a congregation to support those to get the light into those dark places where, yes, I'm sure you see it, people sitting in darkness, roaming around in darkness, crashing into this idea and that idea, having no real hope that can last forever. St. Paul says, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him that they've never heard about? How can they hear unless somebody preaches? And how can they preach unless they are sent out? And then he adds, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so our Lord Jesus not only preached the good news himself, but we read in the gospel how he called Simon and Andrew and James and John, and he would call others, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And while he has not called all of you into the office of the public ministry like he's called Pastor Johnson or me, he has called you in your baptism, has he not? Out of darkness, so that you might share the light of the gospel where God puts you in your vocation in life. You are all a chosen people, St. Peter tells you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know anybody in your family, in your neighborhood, at work or school, who has no idea what's going to happen when they die, who are superstitious about life, who stumble around trying to believe this and believe that, confused by all the religions in the world? Don't you have something to share with them? Jesus says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And what is the best good deed? Our faith in the Lord Jesus. He is the light that glows in us, the light he wants shared before others, so that they might join us someday in glorifying our Father in heaven. One very effective way that our church body does this is through our system of parochial schools, Christian day schools, which we run one here. And I just want to close with this idea, because we begin today Lutheran Schools Week, where we will talk about the ministry that's done through our parochial schools. In over 800 elementary schools like ours, God reaches out through teachers and through parents to thousands of young children and their families with this glorious, warming light of the gospel. as we begin Lutheran Schools Week. What an opportunity we have in this congregation to bring the light of the gospel to so many young children in our congregation. As you'll read in the handout given later, sharing the life-changing message of Jesus' love with more than 250,000 students, their families, and their communities. Is it worth the money? Is it worth the time? Who would disagree with that? And by the way, I might say, for those of you who don't have kids in our school, or maybe never had, you need to pick up the slack at home, don't you? And teach your children the gospel. Teach them how to pray. Teach them the catechism. And maybe also support our parochial school with your financial gifts. Because, you know, I think our schools may be the last bastion of good, solid ethics and morality in this country. Where else can people turn to know that the values and morals that made the United States of America what it is today are going to be supported and encouraged every day like they are in our school right here? That in itself, I would think, is enough message for all of us to get behind our parochial school and support it to the best of our ability. That's not even talking about the spiritual life and spiritual knowledge that our children get through our school. The gift that we share with our children in our school of the gospel is an effective one. It's something we give our children, and they'll never have to give it away. They'll never have to return it, never have to exchange it. It'll never wear out. It's something they will take with them their entire life. And folks, there's nothing else you can give your kids than that. The certain knowledge of God's love, forgiveness, and eternal life. How else could you spend your money any better than that? As we're going to sing in this hymn during the distribution, I love this hymn. The words are so fantastic. Rise, shine. Don't sit there in the darkness anymore. God has called you out of the darkness. Rise, shine, you people. Christ the Lord has entered. See now how he sends the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light, life, and healing. And to that, all we can say is glory be to God. Blessed Epiphany to all of you. And the Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.